And happy holidays, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Chiefs Live as the Chiefs get ready for their final home game of the year to take on Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. With me is the 15-year National Football League veteran, long snapper extraordinaire, Kendall Gammon, Mitch Holter's voice of the Chiefs. And we've got to look back because that is our duty. We are standing the post, if you will, and look at the 15-0 loss to Oakland. And frustration reached its peak.
It really did. I mean, when you look at what that game was, five field goals, time of possession, 2-1, just over. I mean, things just did not go right. You get in the red zone, but in the end, you talk about it every time we play them, and it's getting old, but Seabass. So, it is what it is. You see some glimmer of hope, and you're right here with Jamal breaking out, but then you have a holding call. So things did not go well by the Bay.
Nope, it ends up being a 10-yard rushing total for the game, the second fewest rushing yards in Chiefs history. This was a 42-yard run, but John Osamoah holds, wipes it out. One bright spot is Kansas City kept Oakland out of the end zone, but you said it became a Seabass field goal festival, including this one. He hits one from 57 yards out. I will pay for his retirement party at Hy-Vee at the salad bar, but it's on me. Tired of seeing it.
And that hurts so much. And as we move to the second half, but of course that was at the end of the first half when they came down in the last 2 minutes. So something you hate to see. But again, things just not going well. You're trying to get a bullet screen out there and the ball's not delivered where it needs to be. You're seeing balls going off the fingertips like it did right here with Jamar Newsom. You say one of those days, but it's been a lot of one of those days. And then you look at the rushing totals that they had this week. On a Chiefs defense that was doing okay against the run and a Oakland offense that was really not rushing the ball very well.
And an Oakland team that was last in the NFL in points yielded, and they shut the Chiefs out. Now, there were some opportunities. Here's one of them. Moyaki hangs onto the ball, takes the hit. It's ruled a 15-yard penalty on Tyvon Branch. What about the opportunity here and not getting into the end zone? Because if you do make it 12-7, things look different.
Well, you're exactly right, because you're within one score and you finally got in the end zone, but for whatever reason, you can't get separation. You get a nice play right there where they call the PI and you get down within the 10-yard line. But again, as we saw in the game, you get a penalty and it backs you up 5 yards and you can't get things going. I mean, it's just one of those days. You can't get the ball snapped on time. Frustration is rearing its head a little bit. And then when it comes down to it, you drop it off to a back, and then they just can't get in the end zone.
Yeah, that 4th and 4 became 4th and 9, and then this led to this play. Everything's covered up. Try to get a check down throw, and 5 Raiders are waiting on Jamal Charles. So disappointing there, because that was the best chance to score. Later there was an opportunity also on a 4th down. That didn't work, and a penalty thwarted it. But to me, how surprised were you, and you alluded to this, but Oakland was able to run the ball. This is Goodson. This isn't even McFadden. I was shocked by that. Not only did the Chiefs get 10 yards rushing, but they allowed so much on the ground against Oakland.
Well, you're exactly right. And we spoke about it just last week, Mitch, in terms of Tyson Jackson, Dontari Poe, and Rapati Patoa-Tua. Been playing good at that interior three, making some tackles, doing some good things, but for whatever reason, they could not get it going against Oakland, and they had their way. When it came down to it, Mitch, Oakland established the run game, and they were able to play off that. That was the difference in the game.
And the Chiefs trying to mount a threat here late, but now they're down 15, which makes things look drastically different. And, again, not able to convert on 4th down. And Tommy Kelly continues his one-man assault on Kansas City. That's 6 career sacks by Kelly against the Chiefs. And here are the ugly totals.
You look at it, 385 yards to 119. It's just, I mean, you can go down the line, 200-plus rushing yards, and then the first down's 3-1 there. Third down efficiency, it doesn't matter who you play. If you're 1-12, you're not going to get it done. And again, the Chiefs didn't get their first down until there was 5:35 left in the third quarter. So first half they go without a third down. It's some things that just go beyond explanation, quite honestly.
And the third down efficiency now, if you take the last 2 games, it's 2-for-23. Of course, that has to improve, obviously, against the Colts. Now, the biggest bright spot of the Oakland game, and maybe the entire season, or one of the bright spots, leads into a man who could set an all-time National Football League record this week.
amazing. Dustin Colquitt and what he's doing. And, of course, he was a teammate of mine for 1 year and just a great person. But the things he does with the ball, you know, you'll see him kick some rugby-style punch. You'll see him turn the ball over and spin it to one side of the field or the other, directional punt. This is a guy that on the year, 41 punts inside the 20 and 19 inside the 10. That is phenomenal. When you make the offense of the opponent have to look 90 or at least 80 yards to go for a touchdown, you're normally going to have some success there. So he has been, you know, really the MVP of what the Chiefs have had this year. And quite honestly, that's not what you like. You don't want your punter to be the MVP, but it is what it is. He's doing a great job.
For the 12 possessions for Oakland, Kendall, started inside the 10. The Chiefs could not hold them on any of the four. That was a big part of the game, but the field didn't flip. But now Colquitt has a chance to set an NFL record. You did a great job of putting this out there during the radio broadcast on Sunday, but you're talking a league that's been here since 1921. He gets two more punts inside the 20. To me, what's even more remarkable, what about his punts inside the 10?
That's amazing. I've never even kept track of the stat because you just normally don't have that many that go inside the 10. But he's got an uncanny knack, and you have to give the coverage team and what they're doing credit also, because there's some balls that go down there. Because as a returner, you're taught not to get past, you know, back past the 6 or the 7. And so you see balls hit down there, and the return team's down there to down it. Some balls are going out of bounds, but for the most part, it's just working really, really well in terms of he hangs the ball up there very, very long. This is a guy that had a thunderfoot. We saw it on Sunday against Oakland. Those guys had a hard time with a little bit of the wind, you know, being able to catch the ball. It's just tough. The ball's spinning a different way, and as it comes down, I've heard people say, it just kind of slices as it comes down. So for whatever reason, it's a tough ball to catch, and he's forced a lot of fumbles just through the punts. Also.
Yeah, Denarius Moore is a splendid athlete for Oakland. There's times he was trying to track it. I got it. I don't have it. And got out of there. We saw the New Orleans punt inside the 5. We forget about that. I mean, it led to a safety. That one actually led to winning the game when Kansas City was able to flip the field in overtime and then get the field goal. It's just easy for me personally to take Dustin Colquitt for granted and what he means to this team. I know it's a 2-12 season. Hey, I'm not so sure without Colquitt. I mean, this game wouldn't have. This might be 1-13.
Well, I agree, and you talked about it because they were able to hold on to the ball, but at least it made them hold on to the ball for a while to get those scores. Chiefs defense did a good job at the end, not letting them in the end zone. But when it came down to it, a lot of yards put up, a lot of time off the clock. But again, if those drives had started at the 40 or the 50, it would have been another issue. Now, we forget the one turnover, Mitch, is the fact that turnover, the Chiefs D created a 3-and-out. But it was still in field goal range, and Seabass goes again for one. So it's one of those things where the defense does their job and creates a 3-and-out. It's just of where the offense gave up the ball.
Well, let's transition to this week's game, and it's been anticipated for a while in the Chiefs' kingdom because Andrew Luck comes to town. Now, this is one of the most talked-about quarterback classes as a whole since the early 80s in the National Football League, but this guy, in most conversations, is the first paragraph. What do you see in Andrew Luck?
You know what? I see a guy that's not afraid to stand in the pocket. Now, he's been sacked, I want to say, 37 times. So he's not afraid to stand in the pocket and go down. But as you see, he'll step up in the pocket. He delivers the ball. This is a rookie who's playing beyond his years, Mitch. He's getting to a second read, and I think sometimes even his third read. But as we see right there, a lot of things of which you'll see is when he does get pressure, he's able to step up in the pocket, and he'll deliver the ball on the run. And for the most part, he does it with quite a bit of accuracy, although sometimes you'll see him rush things. I don't think he'll get into it, and you'll see the ball sail high on him a little bit, and to that point, quite a few interceptions as well. So he does have his warts.
He does. We're going to get to those in a second. But here he goes to T.Y. Hilton. You're wondering who he is. He's one of the many rookies on this Indianapolis Colts offensive roster. They just did a fabulous job of integrating rookies into their game, including this guy. Who ever heard of Vic Ballard? If you weren't a Mississippi State fan, you didn't. And this guy's done an excellent job. You see a little bit of Joseph Addai in him. But they've done a great job with the rookies on this offense.
Well, you're exactly right. You talked about T.Y. Hilton. This is one guy we do not want to check in on Sunday. So he's done a good job for him. You talked about Ballard. And then you look over. Also, you've got Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, both rookies that were drafted as well. You've got five guys on the offense that are rookies that are making significant contributions to that offense. Of course, Luck being the number one guy. So they are doing some good things. And you can't discount the fact that They're doing some good things, Mitch, but you've got a QB who's great, who's delivering the ball on time and doing some good things. That helps out. But, again, if you're looking for a way, maybe something to emulate, that's certainly what you'd like to do draft-wise on the offensive side.
You'd think so. Six times Andrew Luck has led his team to wins either in overtime or the fourth quarter. That's usually about 3 years' work for most young quarterbacks, but he's done it six times. You can see the stats aren't all that glossy, but this team has won 9 games. Remember, the Chiefs played them last year when Curtis Painter was quarterbacking, and they went 2-14. Defensively, they have struggled at times as well. But let's go into Andrew Luck a little bit more, because we mentioned that there are some warts. And in the Andrew Luck accolades, sometimes it has lost the fact that he is number one in the NFL in the amount of giveaways. He's thrown 18 picks. He's lost 5 fumbles. Now, what do you see on the other side? Because there are times he still looks like a rookie.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think at times you'll see him force it, or you'll see the ball sail high like it did there. It didn't have a tight spiral on it. What I see more is him forcing it sometimes and just not really stepping into it. And with that, as I said, the ball sails high and you get balls tipped, or you just quite honestly get balls going where they don't need to go. That being said, he's done some good things. He's thrown a lot of TDs, and he leads the team. But, again, some of those picks, just like you see this one right here against New England, are almost inexplicable. You just can't understand why some balls were thrown. But, again, for a first-year player, again, with the warts, he's still doing some okay things.
Again, you see he leads the National Football League in giveaways, but he's also got 6 fourth-quarter comebacks. But he's also 47th in the league in fourth-quarter passing ratings. So you kind of get the yin and the yang with Andrew Luck. It's going to be fascinating to watch him play. Now, here's what the Colts have at stake. Let's go ahead and put that back up. It's a gigantic game for them. What do you think here? Because if they lose, now the Bengals start to slide into 5, and right now the prevailing thought is you'd want to play the Ravens in Baltimore. Still no bargain, but that seems like a little better of an idea than going to Denver and playing Manning.
You're exactly right. Nobody wants to go to Denver and play Manning. They're being talked to about that. Make no mistake about it. Bruce Arians, who's filling in for the head coach, is talking about that. And you know what? I think most people feel like they could go and have a chance at that game. But in Denver, is a rough one. So when it comes down to it, you have the record they have at 9-5. You're not resting people. You want to win no matter what. You want to get some momentum going into the playoffs as you play that first game. So it will be interesting.
Here's the other thing. We mentioned the giveaways. The Colts now are sitting at 9 wins and 5 losses. They are minus 17 in the giveaway-takeaway ratio. The other part of this story, which is interesting, it doesn't add up to 9 wins, Kendall. I'm interested in your thoughts.
I know where you're going.
They only have 10 takeaways.
You're exactly right. You know, that is amazing to me, to only have 10. That's something you have to work to do, and that's something that they've had an issue with, the defense. The defense hasn't been what it's been in the past, in my opinion. And now, of course, last year was, you know, somewhat a debacle for Indianapolis. But in general, they're playing things a little bit differently. They play that 3-4 defense. You'll see a lot of cover two. You know, here against Houston, I watched this game this morning. They can't help themselves. From the cover two, they want to bring a safety up. They want to, but when you see guys like Arian Foster running, they can't. That's what they're trying to stop. But you've also got the receivers back there that are doing a good job as well. This week, we'll talk about it a little bit, but that's something that you would expect that we're going to see in terms of an eighth guy in the box.
Romeo Crennel certainly anticipates that eighth guy being in the box. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about the Colts a little bit further, because you and I get tweeted every day, ask the question, what are the Chiefs going to do? Where do you go from here? It has been a season which has been incredibly frustrating at 2-12. The Colts are somewhat of a case study. We'll get into that when we come back on Chiefs Live.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women 40 years and older,
84.3%.
More women. Women 40 years and older are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life. With the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate. If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on kcchiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
The fans are great. You know, they're always behind the team no matter what. Definitely when it's cold outside, when everybody could just take it in and sit back and drink coffee in front of the TV, they out there rooting with us. So the fans definitely are our motivation to go out there and get them something to cheer for, playing with great intensity, playing with effort and toughness, things like that the fans really appreciate. So it's our job as a defense to go out there and get them that play in and play out.
This week, the Indianapolis Colts come to Arrowhead Stadium. As mentioned, it's the last home game of the year, and Andrew Luck brings a young team to Kansas City. Most of the Chiefs Kingdom, though, is wanting to know what now, where to go from here. We'll talk more about it in next week's show. However, I'm curious your thoughts. The Indianapolis Colts are a bit of a case study. This is a blend of young guys, but they kept some of their core guys. Let's go back to some of the young guys here, what they've been able to do, not just in this rookie class, but the last couple of years, they've been able to build a team.
Well, you're right. But you start with the rookie class. You look at T.Y. Hilton and Vic Ballard. And, of course, right now we're watching Andrew Luck throw the ball. But they did a good job. They went after offense first because they knew that was basically decimated. And then they bring a few people in defensively to help lead. You see Corey Redden come in from the Ravens. But I think a big thing we can talk about as well is the fact that they did keep some veterans around in Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney on the defensive side of the ball. Then offensively, you know what, they have some people that are up there, but when it comes down to it, I think the main guy is Reggie Wayne. He sets the standard. You can look at the other guys there, but Reggie Wayne's the guy. He's the guy that's calling the shots, quite honestly. Not literally, obviously, but in a 12-year player and still getting it done. People respect a work ethic from a guy when you see them having played that long and still doing it like he is.
A couple things here. A man crush on Reggie Wayne. I'm just putting it out there. Love Andre Johnson, love Megatron. Reggie Wayne is one of the more underrated receivers in the history of this game. I see him run routes. He's tough as a leather strap. He was playing at a high level, even on bad Colts teams. Reggie Wayne is outstanding. He is one of the toughest, hard-nosed dudes that plays this game.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, in the fact that, if you're putting bets last year, I'm saying Reggie Wayne's leaving. He's getting out of there with everything that happens. And how they convince him to stay and he decides to stay and do what he's doing, I think is very, very impressive on many different fronts.
Here's the other thing they did. Don't overlook the fact that their second-round pick was Kobe Fleener of Stanford, Andrew Luck's tight end. So one way to help a quarterback be successful, particularly early in a beginning stage, is to have a good tight end with him.
You're exactly right. But then you also take Dwayne Allen, number 83 for them, who was their third-round pick. He's got 40 catches for 482 yards. He's actually got more catches mentioned than Kobe Fleener. But you know what? They knew that they had room together, and they wanted Andrew to feel comfortable, so they brought somebody else in from Stanford. But I jest, obviously. But it is nice, and you come into a team new, and you've got a lot of pressure on you like he does to have somebody who's familiar that you can chat with a little bit.
You always hear it in the NFL, one way to have a security blanket to help a quarterback grow is to have a tight end highly productive, and they've done it actually at a couple different spots. The other thing that they've done is to, you mentioned Freeney and Mathis, they kept the core guys over there in defense. They've got some other good guys over there. They went and got Corey Redding in the offseason from Baltimore as an unrestricted free agent. Now to close, you look at, and we're going to talk about this next week too as we close out the season, but some of the assets the Chiefs have to do the same kind of thing moving forward into 2013. Guys like Justin Houston,
right,
who could be an emerging star. We've talked about Dontari Poe and what he's been able to do, but what about Houston and what he means to the future?
You know, Houston is the future, I think, as at the outside linebacker. And Tomba's there, he's going to be there for a while. But Justin has really come on since the middle of last year and got sacks. And I think he's got 10 sacks on the year this year. But what you've seen from him this year, I think, Mitch, is develop into a complete outside linebacker that not only can sack people like you see right here, but also when you saw in Tampa, he makes an interception against them. He sets the edge as a run defender. So he does some very, very good things. He's got a motor. He continues to go and go and go. He doesn't give it up. So if you can get the QB to hang on a little bit, he's an athlete. He's a waist bender. He can go full speed, get down low, make it tough for the tackles. He does a good job.
And a guy that would kind of fit into the Freeney Mathis role for Kansas City would be Derek Johnson. Now, by this time next year, barring injury, he will be the all-time tackle leader in Kansas City Chiefs history. He has been a stalwart all year long, and going into 2013, he becomes a magnetic pull in the middle of your team.
Well, you're exactly right. And with 112 tackles this year, DJ is, in my opinion, the heart of the defense. He stepped up even verbally a little bit, taking on that role because somebody had to. But in the end, he leads by example. And when you've got 112 tackles, you've got 8 tackles for loss. He's doing some good things. Of course, he has a sack as well, and he's forced 3 fumbles. That's what you want your middle backer or one of your middle backers to do in the 3-4. He is a guy that, for whatever reason, he can read, he can understand where the play is going, and he can knife through there. He can make plays even when he's banged up like he is right now with that left hamstring.
And as we close, 3 more defensive players I want to get your thought on. One is Brandon Flowers. He had his oxygen knocked out of his lungs the other day. I didn't think he'd come back when you were talking to us on the sideline. From the sideline, he comes back and makes like 5 tackles.
Well, you're exactly right. And that was a wicked hit that he and Jaleel Brown took to each other. And he was talking about it. He had to basically catch his breath for a little while because he got hit in the sternum there. But he's done a good job of really breaking on the ball. We've seen some interceptions this year that are as good as you'll ever see. And he's done a good job in terms of 41 tackles, 3 interceptions. He has been a solid backfield mate there as well.
Dontari Poe in the middle of the defense. Encouraging signs. We've mentioned him for the last 6 or 7 weeks. Your thoughts on what Dontari means to 2013?
You know what, I think he's very, very important. And what we saw early in this year, Mitch, compared to what we're seeing now is night and day. He has 5 tackles last week, 32 on the year. But what I saw early in the year was a guy that was confused a little bit and was getting planted, didn't know how to use his hands the way he needed to, and wasn't playing with leverage. Now you're seeing him play with leverage. You're seeing him get penetration. You see, I mean, just doing some very, very good things. He's playing off the ball. He's, as I said, he gets separation from the offensive lineman, and then he's able to play off one way or the other. At that zero tech, the nose tackle, you've got to be able to do that to be able to play off one side or the other and make the plays inside.
And one final guy I want to ask you about, and I've sensed frustration with EB, Eric Berry, since the Chiefs broke camp in St. Joe. He had a good time, good moments against the Arizona Cardinals in those workouts. It's been kind of a frustrating year for him. However, in the Oakland game, he comes out with a career-high 11 tackles. That looked like the Eric Berry of 2010. How does the Eric Berry of 2013 get a renaissance back to his rookie year?
Well, you know what? I think when you bring a few players in, and maybe that he doesn't have to be up there in the box all the time. I think he does his best work when he's at safety, and maybe you bring him into the box at the snap, and he can knife in there and play things. I mean, I hear people talk about it, Mitch, you know, having a hard time covering the tight end. I'm going to tell you right now, lots of safeties have a hard time covering the tight end. But you've got to be physical back there. You've got to come in and you fill the gaps as far as the outside alleys. He's done a good job knifing through it, like I said earlier, going through blocks and making the plays. Somebody talked, you know, this week, I don't know if it's this week or last week, he makes an interception if he doesn't have his hand in a cast. I mean, he really would have had that ball. So those, they're just bad luck. But this is a guy that the Chiefs can look to for many years, I think.
Well, so hope so as we move the page and go forward, and hopefully the Chiefs can beat the Colts this weekend. Again, the Colts have a lot on the line with this young Indianapolis team that's been an interesting study. He's the snapper. 15 years of doing it better than anybody's ever done it in the league. I'm just the voice. We're trying to get through this, and we look forward to better days. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Live.